Amen. Thank you, Sister Keziah, for your leadership. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. I just want to thank you for leading us and just creating this atmosphere for us. A sister that prayed for us. We thank God for everybody on the line. It's another Wednesday. We look together as a family to come together to just wait on the Lord and always show our hearts to Him, that we really want more of Him. So thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the sacrifice you're giving on this altar. And we will always continue with heaven to thank you. And God Himself, who is the one that will reward you. We will never see the reward of prayer fully on earth here until we get to heaven. But as long as we live in this world, God will cause us to see all the expectations of your heart and our hearts in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much for the grace you've given to us. Father, we thank you for how you have set our hearts to you and the longing we have to wait upon you. We have no one in heaven or on earth besides you. And Father, it's from you alone that everything we have, oh God, is from you we receive all that we have, and to you we give all the glory. Father, thank you for awakening our hearts to share the burdens of your heart in the place of prayer for this nation and for our generation. Father, we know that you are God who answers prayer, and we know you hear. So we thank you so much for your children who wait upon you, upon the willing women line 24/7, and so many on this line who in various ways they seek your face. Father, thank you. It's through the prayers of the saints that the earth is preserved today. And we know that through these prayers, you again will respond to the groaning and the desperation of our generation to see your power and your glory. So Father, thank you for teaching us by your Spirit. Open our understanding and continue to put hope in our hearts as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, there's a prayer point that I feel is very important on this Wednesday to release, to pray. But because this is our time of learning together, I want to share, put a little bit of emphasis on this prayer point. And so when we will just declare that prayer at the end. But understanding this prayer point and the context of this prayer point, it will bring breakthrough in your life. It will surely give you a point of prayer that you will always see breakthrough. You know, you by the grace of God, you always see breakthrough. So the best way to begin to kind of lay the foundation for this is when God visited Israel. Again, we're basing everything we're sharing in this season through the prayers, the revelation of the prayers of Moses. And it's when he says, teach me thy ways that I might know you. So we are still learning the ways of God, and that we might know him and know how he works. Once you know how somebody operates, what somebody expects, it's easy to get results from that person. So this is one of the ways we expect God to walk on our behalf, this prayer point. And at Lady Foundation, when the children of Israel, when Moses came to give them the news that their time of deliverance has come, and the process started. In Exodus 12, when God was about now to really bring them out, and he gave Moses the strategy of the blood on their doorpost, the Lord made a powerful statement. He says, that day, that night that he's going to pass through that place, is called a Passover night. And he said, that day he's going to bring judgment upon Egypt And what he's going to do that night will cause Pharaoh to release them. And he says they should make that day a memorial in all their generation. And so we call it the Feast of Passover, which is also tied to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, all their generations. Now, God told them to make it a day of memorial. That word memorial means a day of remembrance. So the reason God said it is, see, the ways of God are so deep and the seasons of God are so deep. But they made it a season of remembrance, which eventually was part of the seasons of the Feast of the Lord, which is a season of remembrance. In that season, so many things happened that were historic in the life of the children of Israel. But one significant thing that, at least for time, that we all are aware of that happened also was, in the New Testament, that very season that God says, make this day, make this time a time of memorial, a remembrance, was the time Jesus died on the cross. It was also the time that Satan was overthrown, and the blood of Jesus today is the Lamb, the voice of the Lamb that speaks both in heaven and on earth, declaring the victory of the Lamb. So that was the window. They remember, God said, make this day a remembrance, a day of remembrance, a day of memorial. It is the same day Jesus. So you see again somehow how God works in the windows of time. Another example again of remembering things, when Joshua was bringing the people out of the wilderness, a new season has come and they were transitioning to possess the promised land. God did an amazing thing at River Jordan. God passed, told Joshua what to do. They used the ark and they passed through River Jordan, and River Jordan split in two. And God told them to take 12 stones and put at the other side of the river, that when their children, they grow up, they see that stone, that when they ask them, what are these stones? They say, then they will remember. Then they will tell their children, this is what the Lord did on this particular season. How God worked. So God established that. He said that the children will use that as a remembrance, a memorial of what God did. Do you know that that river became later, that same river was the same river again that manifested the transition of Elisha to Elijah. Power was transferred. It was also that very river, Jordan, after that as a memorial stone, that Jesus and John the Baptist exchanged power. You know, the Spirit of God came on Jesus as John the Baptist, and his ministry was transitional power into a new dispensation of ministry. So you see again how sometimes God will, you know, put landmarks, signposts for us to take advantage of certain seasons or certain things, he says. So that's another example when God will say, remember this, and then it, that particular area or that particular season becomes something that God uses in future for events that happens. Now, we could go on and on, but I want to read a few scriptures to you tonight just to, again, establish this point of prayer. In the book of Malachi, the children of Israel were at a season where, because of the lifestyle of the children of Israel, for some reason, the promises God gave to them was just hanging in the air and nothing has happened. So at that point, in Malachi chapter 3, many of the children of Israel were beginning to lose heart. They were beginning to be discouraged. Like Galatians says, do not be weary in well done. For in due season, you will harvest, you will reap if you faint not. So this was one of those seasons in Israel where the people were really fainting, they were losing heart. It's like, where is God? Why are we doing all this stuff? We're praying, we're fasting, we're doing nothing, is happening. Is there any use to serve God? These were the questions that were coming up, and God was hearing these things. But in Malachi chapter 3, this just after all those complaints, from verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another,
And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought, that meditated upon his name. So here again, in Malachi chapter 3, it says that God pays attention to people who are faithful to God, who are committed to his purpose. Even though they have not seen what they are praying for, because you don't even understand what God is doing, but they know that the God who promised is faithful. They know that this God has never lied from Genesis, and they know his ways is always faithful. Though sometimes it looks like there's a delay, but the Bible says in Habakkuk, he writes the vision down, because there's a purpose for which everything that God does. So the people that fear God, the fear of God simply means is God is faithful regardless of how I feel, what I see, what doesn't make sense, what makes sense, regardless of all the wickedness or righteousness, regardless of my expectations being delayed, I know that God cannot change his character. So the fear of God is you live your life based on the character of God, regardless of what you see and how you feel. The fear of God holds you to the integrity of the character of God. So these people, as others were just complaining, giving up, murmuring, even by their way of life, not even saying it, they've given up on the things of God. But those who are faithful, like you, staying on the altar, praying, seeking God, and going through different difficult situations, but still you're coming to prayer, still you're consecrating yourself, still you're being faithful to the things of God, and things are going by, and it looks like you're having more difficult times, and more strangers, and you have so many questions, but still you're faithful to God. That's the fear of God in your heart. That's you saying, the character of God has never lied. I might not understand what I'm going through. I might not understand why all this is happening, but I know that the character of God will eventually vindicate me. So that's the fear of God. So all these people that fear, so when the lifestyle of those that fear God, the Bible says, God wrote a book of remembrance. In other words, God made a memorial of their actions, of their ways, and what they're doing. The same thing happened to a man by the name of Cornelius. He's a Gentile. But for some reason, all his prayers and fasting, even though God has prospered him, but he had expectations of his heart that was delayed and nobody knew. But the Bible says when angel visited him finally in Acts 10, it says that God made what his lifestyle, his giving, his fasting, his goodness to the people, God made it a memorial. In other words, God wrote it down. It was written in the book of remembrance. Memorial and remembrance are almost the same word in the context of this prayer of covenant. Is that God never forgets. God takes notes. God writes books about you, about your obedience, about God keeps record of it. So he says God made a record of these people and he put it as a book of remembrance, meaning what these people are saying and doing will be remembered at the appointed time. So that's one scripture there. Now, again, let me go to Genesis. If you go to Genesis, in Genesis, as God has made a covenant with Abraham, that covenant was transferred from his seed, from generation to generation. Now is the generation of Isaac. Isaac now is married to, is the generation of Jacob. You know, it's God took the covenant from Abraham to Isaac. And in the days of Isaac's wife, was barren, Rebecca, and God remembered her because of the covenant and opened her womb. And then in Jacob's generation, the third generation, Rachel, Jacob was married to Rachel. And Rachel was crying out. There was nothing Jacob didn't give to him or her, but Rachel was barren. So Rachel was crying, but At the same time, here's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 30, verse 22. It says, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her, and God opened her womb. See, opening of the womb is like opening of the heavens. There are opening of the womb is like Jesus says in Revelation 3, it's like has a key that opens doors that no man can close. There are things that can be locked, there are things that can be opened. There's a reason why Jesus told Peter when he received the revelation of sonship, he says, I will give you keys. What you bound on earth is bound in heaven, what you open. So there are things that open, there are things that close. So there are Rachel's womb was closed. But Rachel carries the womb of destiny, and the womb was closed. And because of the covenant from generation to generation, God used the word here that God remembered Rachel and opened her womb because he's heard her prayers. So that's another place again, the word, you know that in Malachi, it tells you that a record was made, it was written. But in Genesis, it looks like Rachel, he said God hearkened to her prayer. Now that means Rachel was praying and continued to pray until her womb was open. That means a book was written until the appointed time. God remembered her. So let's look at again in Exodus chapter 2, the one we've been reading for the past few weeks. Exodus chapter 2, again, because of covenant, the children of Israel were shut in Egypt. They were locked into a place of bondage. It's like the gates of Egypt was locked on them. And that has to be opened so that they come out of the house of bondage. But here's how that opened. It says in Exodus 2:24, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had compassion spread unto them. Again, you see the word God, using the word God remembered. God remembered, God remembered. See, we must understand that God does not forget. He knows the end from the beginning. He's the one that laid the foundation of the earth and knows the end from the beginning. So when you see the word remembered, means because of the faithfulness of the people in waiting, in a time when even they didn't understand, but they were faithful in prayer, faithful in the things of God, God remembered, meaning the time came when God honored the covenant is made in the life of these people and opened the gates of Egypt, or opened the womb, or opened the heavens, or opened this, or unlocked this, or opened doors, and the people start walking in divine favor and in divine promotion and in miraculous times of prosperity. The last one I want to read to you before we read the scriptures for prayer is in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. You all remember this one is so interesting to read it, but we can't go into details of it. It's the life of Hannah. You know, you all know about this man, Elkanah, married to Hannah. And Peninnah, Elkanah's other wife, was having children, but Hannah's womb was shut. I want you to see this. It's for time, we can't go into the details of it, but it's so interesting. It's written right here in the Bible that it was the Lord who shut the womb of Hannah. Say, the Lord shut her womb. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave worthy portions, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So Hannah was barren, but there was a reason for it, because God really wanted to bless Hannah. He wanted Hannah's womb to be a womb of destiny. He wanted to raise up something out of Hannah like never before. But she didn't understand it because there was such a delay. The same thing happened to Elizabeth and Zachariah. They were praying for years, thinking that the womb of Elizabeth was barren for nothing. No, God had something greater for them, and that was to to bring forth a covenant blessing through the life of John the Baptist. So in Hannah's situation, Hannah started praying, crying out to God in a feast season, in a very peculiar season. And Hannah was praying and crying, and Hannah made a covenant with God. He said, remember me, if I give you this, you know, you give me this. And was praying and praying and praying. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, and they rose up, that is after they went to this feast season, and Hannah got a breakthrough in prayer, came home. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshiped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah has conceived, that she bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Samuel was an answer to prayer. Amen. God remembered that prayer, that covenant. So tonight, I shared all this to say, one, God takes record and writes a book of remembrance, meaning the record God takes, God is saying there is a reward. And then we see through the life of Rachel and all these people that we read, every one of them, it was through prayer. And in prayer, God visited them and God remembered, God answered their prayer. Amen? There is a bow in heaven in the book of Revelation 5. It says, you know, it is filled with incense. And it talks about in Revelation 8 how this incense, again, were converted to answer to prayer, and they were poured out in the earth in form of fire. So tonight, I just feel we are, just like I shared with you from the beginning, about types and shadows, seasons and timing and events of memorial. We are in the season of Pentecost, that God has made a memorial, has made it a feast season forever, a memorial. During this season, it was the time for harvest for the children of Israel. It's called a Feast of Weeks. But at the 50th day of this is, or they call it the Feast of Weeks of Harvest. But in the New Testament, as they were doing the same feast, remembering it and making it a memorial, a season of remembrance, all of a sudden, that was the time that Jesus told them to go wait, the disciples to wait at the upper room, and God poured out his Spirit. So what they made a week of remembrance, God remembered them and did something in that season as a covenant people. Because God has made covenant with the seasons as a seasons of remembrance. So the seasons God has made for us to have to be memorial season or seasons of remembrance, is they are seasons of covenant. Meaning God has made covenant with this season, and he wants us not to forget them, because perhaps in the time of prayer, as we continue to pray, this might be seasons of visitation or renewal or seasons of breakthroughs in our life. Or best still, these are seasons we take communion. What is communion? These are seasons we remind, through taking of communion, we remind the Father and we remind the Lord of the covenant they've made and things they've done in these seasons in the past, and we remind them not to forget us in our own time in this season. So what I just shared with you has been kind of a principle that God has been taking deeper and deeper in my personal prayer lives, that I take these seasons that God has made covenant with, I've made it his personal appointed time and made it a memorial. And I've seen the patterns how when people remember God in these seasons, somehow they encounter God in a new and a living way in this season. So in Psalms 102 verse 13, David, who understands the deep mysteries of covenant with God, was able to pray a covenant prayer And this is a prayer I just want to pray as we close this sharing tonight. It's a covenant prayer. A covenant prayer is a prayer you pray reminding God to do something based on his covenant, based on his promise, based on the covenant is made with seasons, is made with promises, and is made with people of the old generation. It's a reminder. And when we remind God, then God begins to open the book of remembrance. And then God begins to remember us also. So in Psalm 102 verse 13, David said, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion." Mercy means, and show your covenant, be faithful to your covenant. Because mercy is, everything is based on God and not on us. Everything is on God and not on us. We can't deserve it. Thou shalt arise and show and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor has come. Meaning, let this, your covenant, your mercy, release your divine influence in my life. Let your covenant, your mercy, cause you to open doors that are closed on my life. Let your covenant cause wombs that are closed to open. And let your covenant cause gates that are locked, like Egypt, to open. Let your covenant cause situations that look permanent in my life to be broken. And then open heaven, or open wombs, or open gates, or open doors, or open blessings. Favor means God opening something and bringing you into that thing in a way that you are marked with blessing and promotion, like the days of Esther. You will not deserve it, but people will hear and see and say, this is definitely a miracle. And you will become a testimony, like Esther, like Joseph, like these people. So when we pray this prayer, basically we're saying, God, remember that this is a season of covenant. Father, remember that in this season, like you told the children of Israel, there are markers, there are memorial stones that remind us that this season, you did this, you did this, you did this. So God, you are still faithful. You have never changed. So remember this season as you remember the old, and remember us. And do whatever you do because of your covenant. And whatever situation in my life that is blocked, whatever altars, demonic altars or satanic altars that have programmed or spoken or done anything that has closed doors or that are limiting my destiny or whatever it is, I ask that you visit, you intervene, you do something in this season to change my life and bring forth my destiny and bring forth your purpose in my life. Open my womb, open this. You know, you understand what I'm saying. It does not matter what it is. It might be impossible, like the days of Esther, but God turns it around. And your enemy becomes your footstool when your enemy was on top of your head. The Egyptians begins to fall. The Pharaohs begins to collapse. Because God's covenant is speaking over you now, not your strength, not your ability. Every one of these testimonies I share with you were all impossible situations. But because of a covenant prayer, the breakthroughs came in those seasons and in those times of expectation. So I just want us to pray. And I want to speak this over you in this season of first fruits, in this season of Pentecost, in this season that God has made covenant with man, especially he calls it my appointed season, meaning he's made covenant with it. It's a time that God remembers, and it's a time that God will remember you. So tonight I just want to pray that over you, and I just want you to receive. And then you can pray a prayer of receiving and asking God to remember you as a covenant child, to remember your family, to remember you, that he can intervene no matter what your situation, no matter what the enemy, no matter anything that has been spoken, that the covenant over your life will begin to speak and God will begin to give you a new testimony. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. Alpha, Omega, there is no one like you. Our covenant keeping Father, there is no one like you. Alpha, Omega, there is no one like you. Hallelujah. Covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. Alpha, Omega, there is no one like you. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you because you hearken to the cries of your people. Father, you keep records with the hearts of those who fear you. Father, you are a God who have kept covenant from generation to generation. You kept covenant with Noah. You kept covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, you manifested your covenant through the lives of all that we have mentioned today. We thank you for the covenant you made with your son, Jesus. And you said, as often as we wait upon you, as we take even this communion, Father, we bring you into remembrance. We covenant with your days of memorial. Father, we thank you that this memorial seasons from Passover to the Feast of First Fruits to the Feast of the Seventh Month, Father, we know that these are not ordinary times. You have made covenant with the earth. You've made covenant with these windows of time. And Father, you are a God who remembers. Like you remembered Rebecca. You remembered Rachel. You remembered Hannah. You remembered Elizabeth. You remembered, oh God. You look and you remember. Because you are a God of times and seasons. That's why you said, if we are not weary in well-doing, we shall be remembered in the season of harvest. So Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of your children who wait on you, O God, to turn around the captivity over America, to turn around the captivity over your church, to turn, O God, the situation of our generation around. Most importantly, Father, to turn our personal situations, our family situations, and turn it around again, that even the heathens, even the people around will say, the Lord has done a marvelous, a great thing for us, for which now we rejoice. Father, do a work that will appear like we are dreaming when we begin to experience it. Father, do exceedingly, abundantly above the expectation of your people in this hour. We thank you, Father. Today, I decree in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you have risen. You have risen, Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You have risen to remember covenant you made with your father over the life of your people on this altar and the destiny of your church. I thank you because you have risen and you have risen to do us good. You have risen to turn captivities around. You have risen to fulfill promises. You have risen to release miracles. You have risen again to make your name famous. You have risen again that the book of remembrance will be opened upon your people that have feared you and have waited upon you, that their labor is not in vain and your reward has come. So Father, I thank you, God, that you open doors upon their lives, oh God, that no man can shut. Father, that you unlock wombs, spiritual and physical wombs, that you again will begin to open windows of blessing that will cause your people to enter into spiritual blessings and financial blessings, oh God, that will bring promotion, that will cause your name to be glorified. Father, thank you that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And the season of reward is your season of remembrance. You are faithful covenant keeper, and your time has come, and we beseech you in this hour of Pentecost, and even the rest of this year, Father, may we experience a season of covenant remembrance. And we give you glory for your favor that is coming upon each of us. For the appointed time of remembrance is now. That you will be glorified. And you again will receive all the glory. Thank you for your children. Thank you for tonight. Remember us for your name's sake. In Jesus' name. Amen.